It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah! Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. With me, Ernest Hancock, and Jet Lacey in our final show here in RBN, the last hour. Hopefully you guys enjoyed yourself. You can call in. Say goodbye. Say goodbye. I mean, you call Jet. You don't call me. You know, I don't know why. You know, 800-313-9443. I don't know what the how the lineup's going to change and who's going to do what, when, where, and everything, but it was nice of John to give us this opportunity to share with his audience, even though we were a lot different.
You know, I'd like to personally say thank you to John Stadmiller and Ernest for allowing me to have a voice and to learn. I've really learned how to be a radio host by doing this show live. It's like trial by fire, and I have enjoyed it. And I tell you, I have got so much good feedback from the listeners. I have never got one negative email, not one negative comment, and I have had so much support from the listeners of RBN. I'm going to miss you guys. I will land somewhere. I don't know where I'm going to end up breaking out on my own, but, you know, I have really, really enjoyed my time here on Declare Your Independence and on RBN. I wanted to say, honestly, thank you.
You know, this. So a lot of people understand how just technology has changed so much. What the original intent when Jet and I were, he was a big help in us building this. You remember when we were first starting, you know, building all this stuff. And the original intent was not to really go on traditional radio. Our original intent was to make sure that we were able to archive it. You know, we were able to make sure that it was available because all my radio shows that I'd done in drive time, okay? And it's a little bit different because I was probably the first or only libertarian in a major media market in a morning drive or any drive or any daylight. So what happens, you know, 2 hours in a morning show at a Scottsdale, and we purchased the first 13 weeks. You know, it was because we were going into war. It was before we invaded Iraq, and there was a lot of people saying, I mean, we got to get it out there. We got to do our bit libertarian thing out there and say, look, it's not whatever, you know, the media saying a libertarian says, because that was going on too. We're going, no. Let me tell you very clearly what our position on this is and why. So we did that for 13 weeks, and it just got really popular. They're like, hey, like, the phone's all lit up, man. That's good. We like that. So what we did is we said, all right, we're going to go ahead and do the show. And it just kind of, you know, grew from there. But it was never about anything other than just getting it archived and on record. So what did we have? We had the first show, MP3, before people even knew what MP3 was. And we had all the archives. We still have them. We're developing all our stuff here to be able to buy. That was the original intent. Because I had more people listening to my show online before even broadband was out a lot. And then I was listening to my show on the air. So I go, oh, this internet thing. Yeah, here we go. And we have the capacity to compete. When we come back, well, first we'll go to Lee in Georgia, then Steve in Alberta, and, we got a guy in Australia, too, Kevin. Hey, man, call, get your butt. Oh, yeah, you're probably, no, it's late at night. He works a morning shift or something, a graveyard shift. Well, when we come back, we'll get to your calls and reminisce just a little bit and see what impact we've had on you. What are you doing? What's changed about you? Has the mind fog been cleared? That was the goal. We'll be right back.
It's time to declare your independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443. And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
And Jet Lacy. You know, one thing that I wanted to do is go ahead and go to the phones, because I wanted to, you know, just from being on this network, and I wouldn't imagine they have a lot of other people like it. You know, I was really glad to be able to guest host for Dave Champion, you know, because he's of the same mind, you know. We got the same kind of things going on. So we enjoyed doing that. I'd be interested to see what people thought of that. But it's nice to get some feedback. And most of it we get through the website. You know, I'll get it, you know, emails and so on. They're very supportive. But I'm hoping that it's not only changed your perception, also your action. Where you direct yourself, because that's what they want to do. Shiny objects, man. Anyone distract you to go over here. Don't do that. Do this. If you really want to have an impact, you need to do it this way, says Lord King God Bufu of the universe, you know, whoever it is. Well, let's go ahead and go to Lee in Georgia first. How you doing, Lee?
I'm doing pretty good, so I'm a little bit depressed, but I think I'll live. I just wanted to say, since I started listening to you, you and your guests and Jet, and I also have a question for Jet afterwards, you guys have really helped me to understand in much greater detail the issues that really concerned me, and I wanted to thank you personally also let you know that I have an internet blog show where we sit every morning and we listen to you and we discuss the issues. And I truly believe that your program every morning has really helped to enhance our level of education and our awareness of what's taking place. And I just wanted to thank you so much for that and let you know that I personally, and I believe the others that I associate with, are going to miss you something very terribly and wish you all the best in whatever follows from here on out. And
well, thank you.
Public broadcasting is losing a very, very valuable resource, and I'm sad to see you go.
Well, you know, I appreciate that, and we were surprised it lasted as long as it did, to be honest. But because we are different, and we're in the election. We didn't make it quite through to the election cycle, but you guys, you know, it's the infection. You guys are already infected. But the
it's a good infection, though.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a, you know, truth, man. How do you unlearn that? But, you know, the thing is that we do have an afternoon show. You know, I have a 3-hour afternoon show. Hopefully John won't mind me, you know, directing you to freedomsphoenix.com. You go there and you'll see that. We've been doing, you know, yesterday I did 6 hours of radio, man. I'm like, you know, I have Pal, our senior editor, he calls, he goes, hey, your voice holding up. You know, and you had a question for Jet.
Jet, I called in, I believe it was either last Friday or a week ago.
I spoke to you. I remember that.
And I mentioned a survival book that I put out. And I was waiting on you to email me so I could have your email address to send you a copy. And also, are you still going to be on Fridays, or are you going to be going with Ernest?
Yeah, I would just do this. Ernest was nice enough to give me one of his days, so I'm not going to, I go the way of Ernest, because someone else will be taking over this time slot. And my email, anybody that wants to email me at any time, is jet@freedomsphoenix.com, jet@freedomsphoenix.com. And I'm sorry I didn't get back to you. You know, we got 1,000 things going on, and you know, I remember that, you know, I write myself little notes, and I'm sorry that I didn't get back to you. I truly apologize, because I do my best to actually respond to everybody that emails me. And
you know,
I
that's one thing
it.
That we get, you know, we have Freedom's Phoenix bumper stickers and stuff. We keep adding on more and more stuff, and you know, we have a lot of DVDs that we do and so on. And Jet, I remember when he first started, he goes, hey, send me your address. I'll send you, see, boom.
Oh, my God. I sent out so many of those things.
We go, okay, I guess there's somebody out there. Yeah. All right. So, you know, hey, thanks for calling in, Lee.
Thank you so much, Lee.
And, you know, you just keep going on. Once you get the kernel of understanding of how to, you know, clear the mind fog, well, then you be your own guy. I mean, you know, go rock on, man. Pace and expand. Thanks for the call, Lee.
Thank
I appreciate
you, Lee.
It. Let's go ahead and go to Steve in Alberta. Go ahead, Steve.
Guys, how's it going?
We're going wonderful. I'm sorry?
sad to see you guys go.
Why?
Oh, just the energy you guys bring to the show. It's awesome. I love listening to it every day. Love it. And I wanted to know, I listen to it on my BlackBerry. And is your afternoon programs available somehow on the BlackBerry?
Yes, they are. And you go, well, they just added, there's all kinds of different ways. I mean, you know, it's amazing, but they just added a phone number. When you look in the archive on freedomsphoenix.com and you'll see the afternoon show pop up and you click in there, it has the same information that we provide for, you know, Republic. And it has a phone number in there and you just dial it. 'Cause that's how my wife does it. She has her BlackBerry and it's just she has it as one of her faves or doesn't cost extra or something. And she pushes the button, has her BlackBerry earphones in, and it just dials that number and it just starts playing it live. You know, so I'm going, you know, this is cool. You know, the internet is where it's going because you're able to have a selective audience and you're not just, you know, broaden it out to everybody, which is good. I mean, I'd take it, but it's, I understood this early on, and that's one thing Charles Goyette didn't get. When I was his producer, and I'm going, Charles, you don't understand how big this internet thing. Well, no, you got it. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. You can be glad that I'm recording all this stuff. And I would archive it, and we put it up. I was like, he's glad now, you know, because he's using all that as he's, you know, trying to get back in the radio again because he had his New York Times bestselling book translated into Korean and Chinese, The Dollar Meltdown. And he's going to, you know, probably getting back in the radio doing that. And there'll be opportunities. You know, I probably have something to do. But I'm really understanding why the big bad guys have to control the internet. It's way too much information that is just available of exactly what people want and or need searching for that's sitting there. And if they get it, you know, like this morning, I hadn't even watched it yet. I just watched a little bit of it, and I was running short on time. I had to leave. And it's up on Freedom's Phoenix right now. You'll see a rant that I did. I don't even remember what program it was. One of the listeners goes, oh, yeah, this is good. And he made a YouTube out of it. And it was just me going off on, man, oh, here it comes. And so we're going to start working more on the video, too, because we had this video studio just sitting there. Mm. And we always do a bunch of videos, but it's always us out doing activism.
Right. That's what I do, too. I've been learning. You know, I was inspired by 4409 Shelton because he does all of his great videos that has thousands of views with just the basic Windows Movie Maker that you get for free. And that, so I was like, well, if he can do it, why can't I do it? And so that's what I've been doing.
Yeah, he has over like, I don't know, 20,000 subscribers or something. Something stupid. I mean, he has so many views. He like makes a living off of that. You can have an account that does advertising, gives you generated whatever the heck. So these are all the things that are really taking our time because our site is so complex. There's so much that it does. It's amazing we're able to do what we can with the resources that we have and the webmasters and the cost that we put into this thing. We're up there with the big boys because I saw in my head in the mid-90s what was coming. And if we had this kind of tool, so Freedom's Phoenix is a tool for you. Not for me. I mean, it is for me. I just let you do what I do. I just gave you access to all the things I get to do. The only thing anybody else gets to look at, they don't get to look at the database of the people. That's just me and Pal and the webmasters. And so that's, you know, that never goes anywhere. And, but don't ever think they're not going to put a gun to my head and a subpoena and say, your database is ours. And I'm going, yep, guess so. All right. You know, is that what, that's the way we play. Okay. You know, so don't ever think that I'm going to, you know, defy the federal government. Plus, they got it in. Anyway, you know, don't be naive. But the so I'm doing the best I can as fast as we can, and the radio has been a very powerful tool, and I'm glad you guys have been out there. Has it helped you in any kind of activism? I mean, are you motivated to, you know, the way you communicate with other people a little bit differently?
Absolutely. I mean, I've picked up the Vid Blaster. I've got my laptop set up to run a little small little vlog off, you know, at home when I'm thinking about stuff. And, you know, with all the social networking we have, I do have one little quick question. I'm wondering when the kids out there are going to start quick little flash mobs where they can gather 50,000 people in a downtown area, film it, put up some posters, and then disperse right away with love, peace, and things like that. That shows organization, and that'll scare the pants off the governments.
You know, these things are natural. I think what's happened in America is I recognize this from the militia purging crap that was going on by the government in the mid-90s. I saw this happen. And we had Heidi Beirich, you know, one of our favorites. She comes on the show, and the condition by which I would allow her to interview me was only if it was live on the show. And so she's been on like four times. And so when she comes on, she wants to, you can ask any question you want. And her main thing was, where did all these militia people come from again? And I go, they never left. These people you're looking for to do all this kind of, they're sitting right there. They're communicating with each other. When the time comes and it's to their advantage, they'll do it. It'll be another love-illusion kind of thing. But until then, they're just teaching each other. They don't need to come together until they think they need to. And I don't know when that is, but it will happen. And the bad guys are worried about it.
Thanks, Stephen.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Yeah, Lunatic Fringe, I know you're out there. You're in here too, Jet Lacy. You know, that was this song right there when I first did my first radio show. A good friend of mine, Bob Anderson, he goes, I got the song for you, man. You got to have this one. Lunatic Fringe, I know you. All right. So that was our first intro. I tell you, Morpheus came in. That was, I edited that down to do kind of what I wanted the intro, you know, we're still here. And that was from Matrix Reloaded, the second Matrix, where he's in the cave and saying, you know, here come the machines. And I'm not afraid, you know, because we've been at this for a long time. You know, it's, you know, let me tell you the one thing that I remember we're still here. That's what I remember. We're not going away. So this is kind of the influence I wanted to have on people, is just to understand, look, this has been going on a long time, you know, throughout, you know, freaking ever. And what we did is one of the board ops station I was at took that and put Thunderstruck in with it and mixed it good. I go, oh, that's good. I had, you know, there's some other ones that, you know, we never played intros because I like that one so much. But we've had intros that included like Sam Donaldson and John Stossel and G. Gordon Liddy and Tony Snow and all these guys I've had on the show and Charlie Daniels and kind of, you know, done mixes and everything and had fun with that. But I'm just like, you know, I'm so done with the insider celebrity type people. I don't need it any. I don't learn anything. They're just sitting there lying to me, and then you just get in an argument. I don't want to do that. I want somebody that knows something that's going to share it with me. Well, let's see if Dennis in Texas knows anything. Dennis, what do you know, man?
Hey, Ernie, what's going on? I hate to see your show go, but I just wanted to share a couple of things with you. I happened to meet you back at the Iowa Straw Poll back in 2007.
Were you impressed? Was I good looking?
I don't know why I was compelled to go up there, but I woke up one day and said, I've got to be there. And I drove by myself from South Texas all the way up there. And after the second long 13-hour day of driving, I was all I wanted to do was, you know, get a shower and hit the sack, and because I was supposed to have been there to work the next day at 6 in the morning. And I was out walking my dog, just you know, pulled in to a little hotel there, and a guy came up and says, man, I just came into town on a bus, and I'm supposed to go check in that I'm going to work. I don't know what kind of deal he was doing for the campaign. It was for Ron Paul. And so he said, can you give me a ride over to the little community college there? And I said, sure. So I drove over there and kind of said, well, I'll go check out the tent. And a few people were standing around. Of course, I had the Ron Paul Revolution thing painted on the side of my truck. And a guy says, hey, would you like to meet the guy who came up with that idea? And I said, sure, but I'm going to be a little embarrassed because it's all hand-painted and not all done that well. And so I wound up talking to you till I think 1:30 or 2 o'clock in the morning. And you really inspired me a lot. You've got a good attitude. And I've been involved ever since then, and I'll tell you, it is one of the hardest jobs. Trying to deal with people who just refuse to wake up is very discouraging.
You know, I'll tell you the technique. Let me tell you, you know, why I don't go crazy, okay? I never, ever, especially dealing with in-laws, I know how this works, and friends and family and friends, kids, and whatever. You never try to convince them. I learned a long time ago, you just do your best to make sure they understand why you're so convinced. Because if you try to convince them, their first reaction to whatever that they have in their head, because it's their idea, it's their perception, it's theirs, they're going to defend it. And if you keep hammering on them, they just put up more sandbags. They dig the foxhole deeper to the point they'll never come out. They can't get out. Not without a big, giant, you know, tragedy or something. So if you just provide them, when we campaign, I know this takes, you know, a long time, but it always does. How many minds can you free? So when I run for office or I go out, I'm on the radio or I go do speeches or whatever, I provide somebody a little more information, another perspective. Because if you don't do that, all you're going to do is create an enemy. So that's the only suggestion I can give people. And that's, you know, the time that you spent with us on this show, and certainly with me, has been, look, man, I just want you to understand why I'm so convinced. The government will recruit you the rest of the way.
Well, let me tell you that is the value that you, because what you just said is absolutely true, and even though a person can empirically know it is true, you still want, you know, there's just something in us that wants to wake people up.
No, there's something in you. I've learned it not to be.
Well,
it's the guys that's at the Thanksgiving table. It's Easter Sunday. It's Christmas Day. And the fight breaks out around the table because you just can't shut up. You know, you inject, you know, you just make your opinion known and then you back off. And then you go sit out on the porch and there'll be somebody come out and talk to you later. And then all of a sudden the crowd, you can hold court. But I'm telling you, you know, you try and get them convinced right then, or get an affirmation, you want a nod from them because you just need it. That's selfish, man. I'm telling you, it's not, it doesn't work.
Correct. But it's a learning process to do that. It also requires the confidence that you know you're right, and I just and you also have the faith that things are, you know, the fact that you say the same thing, I think, or a similar thing that Michael Badnarik says, and he says, I know liberty's going to win.
In the end, freedom always wins.
That's exactly right.
It just gets really messy first.
And that's just a matter of having faith. And this whole thing is a battle between good and evil. And it's a very exciting time to be alive.
Hey, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it, Dennis.
Thank you very much.
We'll be right back.
Funding God.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-93-9443.
Yeah! Whoa, that's my favorite part. You know, I really always liked that song because when I was younger, I was like, you know, hey, man, we grew up in the shadow of the mushroom cloud. It's the same crap. It's always the fear because of viruses. I mean, you know, whatever it is that they want to come up with. And we'll go ahead and give out the number since I trampled over Charles saying it. RBN here, you can get 800-313-9443. Say goodbye.
I think it's appropriate that I blew that. I remember blowing that very intro on the first day, so it's good that we blew it on the last day too.
I don't know if I ever not mess it up. The one thing is that Charles Goyette, I mean, he is a top-notch radio personality, and it's going to be a crime if he can't get back on. And hopefully he will, and we'll do what we can to help. Because that's, you know, I tell you what, that's one less thing I got to do then. You know, there's a lot of the stuff that he covers, certainly economics. But we had different styles. He was totally, you know, I produced for him. His thing was the inside story from the perspective of the people involved. But he'd attack, like, Rumsfeld. I mean, get out. Got to get, man. He was hammering on him. But when he's gone, then what? It's the same position, same people, same stuff. So I was more a holistic kind of thing. It's government itself. It's not the people behind the lever. There's always somebody to take over the lever, and their fangs get longer and longer, and their ponytail gets longer and longer, and their horns get sharper and sharper. I mean, you know, it's just the same thing. So I'm more, you know, overall thing. Well, he's kind of started to come around to that too. So this is, I'm hoping he's able to get back on. We can see what we can do to help promote that, along with the expansions that we're doing here. And it's just been so... I don't think people they don't realize until they get behind the microphone how hard it is to fill airtime for an hour, you know, or five.
I had to drink at first, you know. I'll admit I've never admitted it before, but you know, at first I'd have a few beers before the show, and now it's been a really long time now. And I just have water because I really got to the point where I enjoy the show because it's all about creating a mind-mouth melding. You have to learn to be able to communicate your thoughts on a moment-by-moment basis, and it's not something that comes naturally to most people. But I tell you what, it's a comfortable thing once you get used to it.
Yeah, and some people are just plain good. And when my wife was like going, you know, look, this radio thing, we got to get a real job. You know, after we sold the restaurant, we did that for a little bit. It started growing, but it wasn't enough to pay for our needs. And she goes, you got to start doing something. Well, I was focusing on Freedom's Phoenix. Well, then Charles's morning show needed to produce. He wanted me to produce for him. And I'm like, you know, well, honey, and she goes, okay, it's Charles. That's good. You can do that, you know. So that she liked that. Well, we did that for a couple of years, 2.5 years, and with his show, and then I had a weekend show, and so we were on Air America probably 2.5-3 years with the liberals. Far, you know, you heard my show. Now, what do you call that? Liberal? No. Libertarian is I take conservatives and I beat them over the head how not conservative enough they are. And then imagine us on a liberal station during the 2004 election cycle and so on. You had, you know, Kerry and crowd. You got the 2008 election cycle. You had Kucinich involved in there and Ron Paul thing, communicating with all these people screaming Hillary or Obama and just telling them the truth. You're going, look, man, let me tell you what to look for. Well, couple of years into it, and I don't know how they're viewing it now, but it can't be none too good. Even Jon Stewart starting to come around, you know, on Daily Show going, this isn't working out.
Well, again, I think that I've said this for a long time, that we have some allies in the real left that understands what is going on, that this is a fascist, largely fascist takeover of the economy by the corporations.
Yeah, no. I had Kevin Zeese on just last week, or maybe it was this week. Kevin Zeese he has Voters for Peace, and he writes for Huffington Post and so on. And I remember him when he was the scheduling guy, the media guy for Ralph Nader, you know, in the 2004 campaign. So that's how I got to know him. And then, of course, through a lot of the politics or nationally and everything, we come across each other. And his big thing is, you know, like a lot of the progressives, they wanted a single-payer government give me free health care kind of thing. That was their big deal. Well, when Obama finally passed some kind of health care, well, that was just for the insurance companies. So he's he's not happy about that. And I'm going, well, what'd you think was going to happen? You know, it doesn't matter anyway. I mean, you're still stealing from me. How can we? But on the war thing, they're like, yeah, this Obama, he's just part of them. Wall Street comes into the White House. All this stuff, they start to understand. Even Naomi Wolf wrote the 10, steps to fascism or whatever it was. She's a feminist. She was at the Ron Paul Revolution March in Washington, D.C. in the summer of 2008, where Gary Franchi and I emceed that thing. And she came out, I had her on the show before, and she came up to me right before I introduced her coming up. She came up and she goes, Ernie, you libertarians were right. I go, yeah, where you been? I mean, you know, this is, so they are starting to come around to the logic of this. It's so simple. First, you don't aggress. If you're advocating any kind of government program that requires a 45 to my forehead to take something, or you know, eminent domain or whatever, you're already the bad guy. I don't even care what your reason is, what you're going to do with my money.
Or somebody in a faraway land. if you're going to aggress against them in order to get their resources or to bring democracy to their land. You know, a lot of these people, you know, I reading Hunter S. Thompson, he was a guy that wrote in the early 60s down in South America, and he said these people have never known what freedom is. It's not part of their culture. It's not part of their society. We just have to understand that there are some societies out there that want no part of freedom. They want the collectivism because that's all they've ever known.
And a lot of times social structures, I give you an example, Japan. Japan was a total, you know, to the collective duty to emperor kind of family ancestor thing. You start, you know, trying to mix in individual rights to that and everything. You're going to have a transition period. You know, fine, cool. You know, you can't be able to do it by force. You do it with Levi blue jeans and Coca-Cola commercials, which is what they're trying to do, which is what Islamic world is, you know, freaking out about anyway. HBO satellites, you got to firebomb that guy's house or something. But, you know, am I allowed not to care? All this stuff works out a lot better when left alone and you just be a good example. We don't have the moral high ground on any of this stuff if we're having these SWAT teams and police raids and, you know, squashing of individual rights and we're saying, oh yeah, we're the freedom guys as we're beating protesters, as we're invading people's homes because they're smoking dope or something. You know, I'm going, this drug war, we knew that. That's why libertarians went, you know, hog wild on this drug war. Whether you do drugs or not is not even the point to us, and they would be surprised. Well, you don't look like a druggie. You know, we'd have judges and stuff, right? You know, Judge Jim Gray speaking at the Freedom Summit. Oh yeah, don't forget freedomsummit.com December. We have great speakers. Judge Jim Gray and Judge Buttrick are both big time against this drug war, and they've coming out on this long time ago. So we have a lot of really good minds that understand the empowerment of the state. That is what this has always been about. So if you understand that, how people make their own mistakes, and I don't care, but make sure they have to live by their mistakes. And it doesn't cost me anything. Well, then if they do this, then they're gonna what? Get some government program? You know, and they make it out like the person that gets the program is the bad guy. They're not the one with the 45 to my forehead taking the money for it.
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what, getting back to what we were talking about with the friends that we sort of have aligned with us on the real left, is their diagnosis of the problem is right on time. It's the way they want to repair it is all wrong. It's giving more, you know, power to the government.
Right. They're going, we don't want the corporations to run the government and get all the benefits and all the bailouts and the money from us. We want the corporation of the people to be in charge, and we get to redistribute from the top 1% that have 90%. Blah, blah. I go, look, being rich is not the problem. Using government monopoly on and squashing competition from people in the free market, that's the problem, because government's not defending individual rights. The counter to all this monopoly in the oil industry and the railroads and so on that started back in steel, all of this, these big industrialization of America, the only counter that the people had to this government-sponsored monopolies was labor unions. That's where they came from. That was how they... So this battle of collectivism has just been amping up to where all of a sudden now we're all screwed. And all you had to do is have a government that defended individual rights, and I can have the right to compete against them. I have the right not to have some government-sponsored monopoly. You don't get be held liable for whatever your corporation does. You know, that's where the problem was. The further you get away from the purpose of government, defense of individual rights, the more you have these problems, and they get the problems are so complicated. You think by turning one little dial or sending money over this way, or socially and economically engineering with a tax code, or, you know, a strong arm of military enforcement, or you want to make sure people do whatever the heck it is, that is the problem. That. It's not who's wearing the ring of power behind the lever of power. It's the ring of power. That is, it always will be. So. That's my rant, man.
I hear you. The monopoly of force that the government claims. Everybody should have the right to protect their own interests. And, you know, I've learned a lot from you about this. And I know that we have, you know, have different views on different things. And I, to be honest, Ernie, I've always wanted to say this on air to you, that I just think that we're at different timelines of the situation, of our awareness of what's going on in the world. Like, I do see things in a little bit of different way, but I'm still learning because I've only been doing this for a few years.
But I'm never critical.
No,
okay? I'll tell you why. This is what I've learned over the years. We'll have, like, you know, during the Levolution and so on, everybody's going, oh, we're going to go be precinct committee men, Republican, do it, Ron Tech, go in, we're going to fix it and vote and do it and change and whatever. I'm going, just pay attention. Because I already knew it was going to happen. Well, I just got yesterday, I had Jim Deacon on, his wife, you know, they got on Freedom's Phoenix when we exposed what they were going to do inside the Republican Party here by creating another entity that would use the offices of the Republican Party here in Arizona, but it created all the donations went to a separate private organization that had a $3 million budget that employed all the bad guys to do what they wanted, and it ran out of there, and it just took all the precinct committee men, all the entire structure of the state Republicans, because it was being invaded by the Ron Paul guys, and just put them off the shelf and everything. You don't get to have any say. All the money, all the resources, everything is going to this private organization here under, you know, Army Karl Rove kind of deal. So I'm going, okay, I get it. You know, I understand. Everybody see what's going on here. When did they have their little executive meeting? It was between Christmas and New Year's. And I go, you guys pay attention to this. Now, of course, it stopped it a lot of different things. They wound up doing it anyway, just a different way. But I'm going, do you guys get it now? They will always do this. It's always the illusion of choice. That's what we learned from the Matrix. The whole thing, you want to watch, you know, how they keep you plugged into the thing, save yourself watching, I don't know, 8 hours of movie. It comes down to one thing. They just want to provide you the illusion of choice to make you feel like you're doing something. Well, you don't have a choice. You don't think so? Just listen to George Carlin.
Hey, I actually have to take my wife to the dentist right now. I just want to say one more time, thank you so very, very much, all the listeners. Thank you, Ernie. Thank you, John, for allowing me to have my voice. God bless you, man. Good luck in your Liberty News Radio. Maybe I won't be banned forever, and I can fill in for you again.
Nah,
but thank you so much.
We'll work out something. You know, we got big plans for Jet Unleashed, because it's gonna get so ugly. It'll be beautiful.
Be on the lookout for revolutioncontinues.com. That's my domain name. I'm just trying to figure out how the heck to put together a website.
Nah, we'll get you taken care of.
Hey, thanks a lot. We'll see you later.
Let's go ahead and go to Kevin in Texas. Go ahead, Kevin.
Hey, Ernie, man, I just can't thank you enough for sharing your knowledge, and I won't miss you, because I'm going to follow you over to your new time slot. I guess it's 4 to 6 Central, is that correct?
4 to 7.
Four to seven.
They added a third hour. And, you know, the thing is that it's the same show. I mean, you know, it's a lot of times, I'll tell you what the difference is between the two. On RBN, it was more of a personal, you got to see more of our personal side, our lives. You got to have shared with you our families, what was going on. I was a little bit more personal, a little bit more Howdy Neighbor radio. Got to do the same, cover the same stuff and everything. The afternoon show is more a little bit, the guests have more of a say. I do, you know, it's for different reasons, it's structured different. But, you know, in the morning RBN, you got to know us personally more. And so there was an advantage there.
Yeah, but I can take that into the new show, too. And frankly, I like a host who doesn't dominate the show all the time. And I thought you did a really good balance. And I got something else I want to say.
Yeah, man. Tell the guests that.
Yeah, I know. There was a few times you'd get on a rant, and I'd say, man, that'd probably be me the whole time if I was in his shoes. But I just hate to see Republic doing what they're doing. I know it's hard. I could not do a better job. I'm not saying that I could. I know there's a lot on John's plate. But, man, the programming, it's become a skeleton. There's only two shows left I'll be listening to now. And Robbie's leaving, so that just leaves Paz Derek.
Well, they have, you know, their own reasons for doing what they're doing. They're bringing in some big-name guys that have, big websites that get a lot of traffic. You know, John's doing what John needs to do for him.
Hey, I'm sure he's doing a better job than I would. I've got a very narrow perspective of it. You know, I'm one listener, so I have no idea what's going on behind the scenes, and I'm sure he's doing the right thing for the network, and I still support him, you know.
Well, I appreciate you listening. So, I mean, you know, it's not easy to do what John's put together here.
No, it's not. That's why I say I wasn't negatively ranting, just giving.
Well, you know, my thing, I tell you, you know, I could. The criticism I have coming over the RBM, because there's a lot of people, you're going to go over the RBM, they're the, we don't like the Jews guys. And I'm like, yeah, you know, so I'm, you know, I don't care. It doesn't affect my show.
I'm with you on that.
You know, it doesn't affect my show. I don't care. I can do what I want. I'm for free in minds. And my things, you know, I always say, I go, look, I get it. You know, the Jews did it or they're going to do it, you know, but I'm going, you know, but the point is that if it wasn't them or some group that you're going to blame, it's always somebody. You know, that's not the point. The point that I'm making, it's us that's the problem. We allow these people to do this stuff. It's always going to be someone there that's going to try and take mine without my consent. They're all the bad guys. I'm not going to take favorites. I take me and you as the favorite. We'll be right back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Oh yeah, you gotta have some Led Zeppelin. That's just the way it is. You know, we have Ed Vallejo in studio. I just give him a minute, just say yo, what's up, because he's been a big part of this revolution since forever. And it's you know, he was in here doing some videotape. He ran down here, wanted to get some of the final show on tape. So, you know, give me your 30-second spiel, man.
Got it, Bernie. I had to be here for your last show. You and Jet are a huge impact. I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you from the bottom of my heart and the bottom of America's heart. May God bless you and cause his face to shine upon you.
Hey, thanks a lot, Ed. You know, I tell you, Ed's been a powerhouse when we needed it. And I don't know what was wrong with the microphone there, but you know, it was it's been a pleasure to have such quality people that we surround ourselves with. You know, this is what we have done. We've always found a way to ally ourselves with individuals that, you know, add. You know, I don't care how much you add, just add something. You know, I mean, even if it's you're just sitting here just sucking up air conditioning, sucking up space, you know, distracted. That's why we call it the workshop. Now, you're not allowed to come here and just take up space. It's a workshop. Either you're doing something or you're helping somebody do something or you're in the way. So we, you know, there's not, we would have, you know, it's a honeycomb hideout on the weekends, man. I come in on the weekends. There's like dozens and dozens of people here. They got movie night on Saturday night. They got, you know, some people doing some classes on mortgages and so on. There's some people, they have little seminars and such. The weekends, it's y'all, man. Knock yourself out. You know, I don't care. But during the week, you know, I got, you know, don't be out there with the power saws while I'm trying to do radio. And the thing that I wanted to make sure that you understood is that we're family. When something happens to one of us, if, you know, it was an injustice, I mean, if they make stupid mistakes, it's their problem. But, you know, if there was an injustice, certainly when it involves the government, you know, we're all over it. We at least can, you know, bring attention to it. And a lot of times, that's all you need. You just need somebody to know what's going on. And we know what's going on. There are bad guys out there. And good guys need to do something about it. Well, hopefully we've been an inspiration to many of you. That was our goal. Oh, and lots of good music. And when we had the chance. And, you know, I'm glad that you guys have got to share this with us. It's always been a pleasure to talk to you and make sure you knew what was going on. And I wanted you to be inspired. Hopefully you were. But the bad guys, we know who you are, too.
I know you're out there. I can feel you now. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. I'm going to show them a world without you. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.